Hey, we're going to continue today in the Sermon on the Mount. We are actually in season three of the Sermon on the Mount. We started clear back in 2023. And I told you last week that I was going to do part two of Judgment today. I'm actually going to do part two of Judgment today and part three next week. So I actually changed what I was going to teach twice this week. And we'll just tackle one verse from the Sermon on the Mount. This is what we talked about last week, because you got to grab last week in order to grab this week. So go ahead and throw the slide up there. Do not judge others and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So we talked a little bit about just the whole idea, because that line, do not judge, is a line that is very well known in our culture. Matter of fact, it gets thrown around constantly. Do not judge. Don't judge. Doesn't the Bible say don't judge? Don't, you know, just that whole idea is thrown around. So we talked about that last week, just with the idea of what does it actually mean to not judge. And you can go back to our website or our Facebook or whatever and catch that from last week. But Jesus does an interesting thing. He goes straight from this where it says, hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your own eye. And then he throws this, there's this verse thrown in, which when we read it in just a second, you're going to kind of go, what? How does that fit to this? Okay, and I'm hoping to take you on a little journey here. It's probably going to be a little different than if you have church background, maybe a little bit different than how you've seen it before. Let's stand together, and we got one verse, but it's going to be in two different versions, and I want you to read it out loud with me. So the New Living Translation is the first version, and then the English Standard Version. So let's read these out loud together, and then we'll pray. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn back and attack you. And then go ahead and go to the English Standard Version. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Father, speak to our hearts today. I pray you'd encourage us, not only instruct us, but I pray you'd encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, it's interesting that It's like right in the midst of this whole passage on judgment, and then we're going to go next week to prayer, there's this, it's almost like a proverb just thrust in there. You know, it's this little statement that you go, okay, how does that connect to the verses of before, and what in the world does it have to do with what we're going to study? It's just chucked right in the middle. And I look at it, and I'm going to refer to it as a proverb. And, you know, there's four or five different main interpretations down through the 2,000 years of church history about that verse, verse 6 of chapter 7. And the reason being, it's the only place in Scripture that this idea is found, where it says, don't throw what is holy to the dogs, don't throw your pearls to the swine, and or they'll trample them and the dogs will tear them up. It's the only place it's found. And matter of fact, not only is it the only place that it's found in Scripture, this is not referred to in literature from antiquity. You can't find it. It's not found. It's not found in Jewish literature. So this idiom, it's just like Jesus pulls it out of nowhere and he throws it right in the middle here. And I don't know about you, but has made me all week. That's why I changed my message twice. So it made me scratch my head like, what is he talking about? Because you can understand where the whole idea of don't judge or you're going to be judged. Don't judge by, because the standard by which you judge by, that standard's going to be used against you. And you got a log in your eye, and here you are worried about the sawdust in someone else's eye. All that makes sense. All that's clear and makes sense. But all of a sudden he throws in this thing, don't give to dogs what is holy, and don't throw your pearls before pigs. Again, it's found It's not found anywhere in antiquity other than right here. Matter of fact, if you're interested in more about it, you can just go to, you know, your computer and put it in the search engine, and you'll find the one place it's referred to is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. It's the only place it's referred to. So what is Jesus talking about? You know, when he throws this out here, what in the world is he talking about? And again, there's four or five different major understandings about it down through history. But I want to know what Jesus really was talking about when he said that. And it's also interesting that that this line, especially one part of it, don't throw your pearls before the swine or before the pigs, that's known, that's a vernacular thing that we say in America. I mean, it's common. You'll hear it all the time. Don't throw your pearls before the swine. The whole idea being, don't take something that's valuable and throw it out to, you know, people who aren't going to appreciate it. So, you know, it's used in all kinds of different ways, but that's one of the ways that it's just used in the vernacular of that whole idea. So let's talk about this for a few minutes. Dogs were common in the ancient world, but not common as household pets. Okay, dogs that he's referring to here were dogs that ran in herds. They were vicious. They were scavengers. They fought. They, you know, if they got their chance to, you know, I mean, all dogs fight, but they get their chance to, you know, get something, and they're going after each other. They're going after other people, attacking. And usually dogs in the ancient languages and in the biblical background, dogs were used to refer to people who weren't believers and who were oftentimes just called Gentiles. They were not followers, you know, they were not followers of the Jewish faith. So dogs were everywhere, but they were dangerous. And so he says, don't throw your pearls before the pigs, or they'll trample them. Pigs were common, but they were not common in the Jewish world because they were seen as unclean animals. Matter of fact, if you touched a pig, you were unable to enter the temple because you were seen as unclean. They were unclean animals, and you would have been seen as an unclean person. Pearls. So we know, you know, the idea of holy, something that's set apart, it's sacred, you know. And you know, there's things that in the ancient world that would have been holy in the sense of like the temple, you know, the where the Ark of the Covenant was, the artifacts and so on in the temple. All those things would have been seen as holy. Pearls are very, very uncommon. I don't know if you know this, but most pearls that are bought today are actually cultured pearls. They're manufactured pearls. Pearls that are found in fresh water or in the wild, about one in every 10,000 oysters actually has a pearl in it. So divers have to go, you know, if you find them by diving, they have to come up with 10,000 oysters just to find one pearl. And of all of those pearls, just a tiny percentage of them are actually what could be called jewelry-grade pearls. Most of them are not, you know, they're not symmetrical, they got a wrong color, they just don't make jewelry. So they're very, very rare. And that's why Jesus refers to them here. It's also why Jesus refers to them the way he does in the pearl, you know, where it talks about the pearl of great price that's used, the parable. And that's why it's used, because it's so valuable and so precious and so rare that you would never take it and throw it out to the pigs. It just, you know, that's you would do that with something common, but you wouldn't do it with something rare and something precious. And so it's interesting that this, again, this proverb that's thrust right in the middle of. And if we take it as, you know, just at face value, okay, just take it at face value, not like, okay, what's he saying here? Take it at face value. It kind of implies that if you're not supposed to take what's holy and throw it to the dogs, you got to figure out what holy is, and then you got to figure out who in the world a dog is, right? I mean, you got to figure that out. And you got to figure out what the pearl represents, and you got to figure out who the pigs are. If you're not supposed to take the pearl, what is the pearl? And if you're not supposed to throw it to the pigs, who are the pigs? Everybody with me? I mean, otherwise the scripture makes no sense. It's like, how do we figure this out? And how do we look at someone, especially what we just got through, don't judge. We just got through, you know, the whole idea of don't judge by what standard you use, that's how you're going to be judged. Take care of the speck and the log in your own eye before you worry about the speck in someone else's eye. All of that, we just get done with it. And now he's saying you need to figure out who the pigs are and the dogs are. It seems a little incongruent, don't you think? Like, it's like, wait a second, something doesn't work here. Something doesn't fit with those two ideas next to each other like that. Because then we become the judges of what's holy and unholy. We become the judges of who the dog is and who. Let me just give you an illustration. Let's say you're at work and one of your coworkers has a problem. You're a follower of Jesus. Been around the church world for a while. And you have this coworker. And, you're talking to them and they start telling you about a problem they have. Whatever the problem happens to be. They start telling you about what the problem is. And you know that Jesus has the answer to their problem. But if what Jesus is saying, that we're supposed to figure out who the dogs and the pigs are, before we share Jesus with that person, we got to figure out whether they're a dog or a pig or they're okay to share the truth with. Isn't that what we'd have to do? You know, Todd, you're at work, and, you know, somebody, you start talking to someone, you're interacting with someone, which I know doesn't happen very often because you interact with buses and repairing engines and transmissions and all that stuff, but let's just say it happens. And you all of a sudden now have to have this set of glasses on to figure out, is this a pig? Is this a pig? Is this a pig? Okay, I could talk to him. Is this a dog? Oh, if this is a dog, is it a dog? Don't talk to them. They're a dog. You know, and you have to put these glasses on of judging whether someone's a pig or a dog. And that's oftentimes how the church has interpreted this or looked at it. So, you know, one of the major things is that we have to figure out who is worthy to receive the gospel message before we share the gospel message with them, because otherwise they're not going to receive it and you're throwing pearls before the swine. Now, I don't know about you, but I am very grateful that someone didn't look at me and say, he's a dog, and not share the gospel message with them. Mine and Barbara's spiritual father passed away yesterday. And, they've asked me to go to be part of the funeral. And the only thing I can keep thinking of is I am where I am and I am who I am because this family continually poured their lives and their prayers into me. So as a 19-year-old kid with no view of Jesus or the thought of the gospel whatsoever, all of a sudden God poured his word into my life and heart, and I came to faith and immediately said, I want to spend my life telling people about Jesus. Well, I'm glad they weren't looking through their glasses to see if I was a dog or a pig. Everybody with me? So I don't know that's what Jesus is saying, that he's trying to give a school here on figuring out who's a dog and who's a pig, who's worthy to receive the truth and who's not ready to receive the truth. Because we're told to go into all the world and make disciples. That's what we're told. Last commandment of Jesus, go into all the world and make disciples. I mean, it's like everywhere you go, whatever you're doing in life, figure out, do I have opportunities? Is this an open door where I can talk to people about Jesus? I know, Gene, as an evangelist, you know, by gifting, that's part of your heart. Is this constantly, where are they at with Jesus and talking to people? And you guys have people, you and Carolyn have people over your house all the time. Because we're told to share the gospel where we go, right? That's what we're told to do. So I don't think this is a lesson on evaluating whether someone's a dog or a pig. The Old Testament law had all kinds of things about some behaviors regarding this idea, and I want you to grab this. It says, then the Lord said to Aaron, you and the descendants must never drink wine or any alcoholic drink before going into the tabernacle. If you do, you will die. This is a permanent law. He's talking to the priests and the Levites here. This is a permanent law, and you must observe from generation to generation. And then he says this, you must distinguish between what is sacred and what is common. Distinguish between what's sacred and what's common. In Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, and I could talk all day about this, but the prophet Ezekiel said this, talking about the priests. He said, they make no distinction between what is holy and what is not. Another place it says that they're supposed to teach my people the difference between what is holy and what is common. So, he's talking about don't judge. By the standard by which you judge, I'm hoping I can take you on this trail. Don't judge. By the standard which you judge, that's how you're going to be judged. Don't worry about the speck in someone else's eye until you've first taken care of the log in your own eye. Then maybe you could help them. That's what Jesus said. Then maybe you'd be able to help them. And he walks through that, and then he gets to this place about the dogs, and don't give the dogs what's holy, and don't throw pearls before the swine. Or maybe he says this, don't take what's holy and precious, what's holy and sacred, what's holy and precious and not common, and don't just throw it out to in any situation. Now, I don't know your house, but as a kid, and then in our house right now, you know, we have dishes that are like china dishes that you would use for special occasions, and you have regular dishes. My mom freaked more than once with 9 kids when there were special dishes that were found in the backyard. Yeah, like and even now my wife would be, there's dishes found, anyway, where they shouldn't be. But my wife would be extremely unhappy if her Desert Rose dishes were out in the backyard when we were burning the pile and roasting hot dogs. Because you don't take sacred things and treat them as common things. Everybody with me? That's what you don't do. And so if Jesus is talking about, he's talking about don't take what's holy and throw it to the dogs, and don't take, you know, the pearl, which is of great value and rare, and throw it out to the pigs. I think what he's talking about here, this is where I want to take you. What I think he's talking about here is don't take what's precious and just throw it out as if it's common. Don't take what's rare and treat it as if it's common. You know, don't take what's so holy and throw it out. The dogs could just play with it out in the backyard. You know, have a dog, you know, kind of thing. Don't do that. Don't do that. Understand what's holy and understand what needs to be treated as holy, and understand what's precious and what needs to be taken as precious. So what would some of those holy things be? I'm driving you to a point here, okay? What would some of those holy things, you know, if we're supposed to treat something as holy and we're not supposed to take it and just throw it out where the dogs can play with it, or take something that's holy and, you know, throw it out where they could fight over it and tear it apart, and, you know, or pigs that they could trample under, what would be some things that the scriptures would see as holy and sacred and precious and of great value? Let me throw some things out, and it's just a scattering of things, and then I'm going to again drive you to one idea. How about God's name? You know, we live in a culture that just takes God's name as just a plain old word and a plain old name. It uses a cuss word, all kinds of things. The Jewish people saw God's name. I mean, we sang the song about, we speak the name of Jesus. I mean, the Jewish people, and then the early church and church history, has seen the name of God so precious that it was a taboo thing to use God's name, in vain, to just throw it out as if it was a common word. Or how about grace and mercy? Grace and mercy are worth so much. Mercy is that God doesn't give me what I deserve, and grace is that I get what I don't deserve. And talk about something that is absolutely precious and valuable, and yet it gets treated so easily, just so common. You know, that's where, if you know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German preacher in the Second World War, where he talked about the idea of cheap grace, where people are given God's grace. God shines his mercy on them, and he pours his grace upon them, and then they just go out and just trample on it. The idea behind grace and mercy in the scriptures is the grace that God pours upon me and the mercy that he shows me would cause me to live in a different way, would cause me to live with a different heart, with a different attitude. Otherwise, I'm kind of just trampling grace and mercy underfoot. Everybody got that? Or how about life? Today, I don't know if you know it, but today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Around the nation, it's where churches and organizations kind of just recognize that life is sacred. But again, we live in a world that just treats life as this common, everyday thing. I mean, just think about the TV shows. I mean, the number of people that die on TV shows on a regular weeknight is unbelievable. Right? I mean, we just, and I'm talking TV shows, entertainment, all that stuff. I mean, we just treat it so casually. But life is so sacred. It's so sacred. Or how about sex? I mean, we treat sex so casual, so commonplace in our world. I mean, it's everywhere. It's just treated so common. But in God's view of it, if you read the scriptures, and I challenge you to read, it's a sacred thing. The relationship between, the intimate relationship between a husband and wife is not something that's meant to be treated as common for everything and everybody and every occasion. It's sacred. It's holy. You with me? It is. And we just treat it so casually. Or time, or the body. Our body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our resources. What about our words? We all know, because we've all been damaged by other people's words that's been spoken to us. We know how precious and how valuable and even how holy our speech can be because of how destructive it can be. But we just treat it as common. Let me drive you to where I want you to go with me. See, this verse is about what are we to do with what's holy and precious. Are we just to take what's holy and precious and just throw it out for the dogs to tear apart and the pigs to trample on? Or are we supposed to treat it differently? Treat it sacred, treat it holy, treat it precious. And I think what he's getting at here is how we would treat people. That what's holy is the people. What's the precious pearl? It's the people. Because he just goes through, don't judge. Because however you judge, that's how you're going to be judged. You're going to pay the price for judging. And forget about the log, the speck in your neighbor's eye. Worry about the speck that's in, you get it, okay? The log, yeah. Worry about the log that's in your eye. Worry about the log that's in your eye. And don't take people and throw them out for the dogs to tear apart. And don't take the pearl and throw it out where it can be stomped on by the pigs. If you think about the culture and if you think about all of what's wrapped up in the New Testament teaching, Jesus regularly was dealing with Pharisees who treated people like dogs. Who took what was people who were precious and holy and you know, worth great value and just trample them underfoot. So he's saying, don't take people and throw them out to where the dogs are torn apart. Don't throw people out to the pigs where the pigs are going to trample on them. If you think about, again, in the scriptures, prostitutes, lepers, tax collectors, immoral, drunkards, lame, blind, deaf, demon-possessed, all of them were thrown to the dogs and thrown to the pigs to be trampled on. All of them were. And then Jesus comes in and goes, wait a second, you're not going to treat the prostitute this way. You're not going to treat the leper this way. You're not going to treat the tax collector this way. You're not going to treat the lame this way, the leper this way, the blind this way, the naked this way. That's what he said. You're not going to just throw them out. So it's the emphasis of the scriptures is not about, in this scripture, is not about figuring out who the dogs and the pigs are and what's holy and what's a pearl. The emphasis is upon the value put upon people and the culture he's speaking into and the circumstance he's speaking into is where people who other people didn't value just got trampled on. And he says, that's unacceptable. That's not what you're going to do. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because Jesus came to rescue people from the dogs and the pigs. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to rescue people that were being torn apart by the dogs and trampled under by the pigs. He came to rescue them. He wants us to value the same way he values. And I think that's why in the midst of this whole weird thing of don't judge, or you know, how you're going to judge, how you judge is how you're going to be judged, and worry about speck and log and all that whole thing. And then all of a sudden here's thrust in this middle of this, don't throw what's holy to the dogs and don't throw what's, you know, what's precious to the pigs, the pearls to the pigs. Like what? He's trying to talk about what's value. Don't take, see, when you judge people, When you judge people, and we got a part three to this, okay? Everybody's like, again, the yeah, but people are right now all stirred up. Like, I know there's a whole other side to judging. We'll talk about it next week, and then maybe you'll still can be mad at me. But anyway, okay? But he's going, see, when you judge, and you judge that way, and you worry about the speck in someone else's eye, what you're actually doing is you're trampling on them. You're actually throwing them out for the dogs to tear apart. I mean, so how does this flow go? Jesus thrust this proverb in there that's not found anywhere else. He thrust it in there because I think he's trying to make the point that when we judge and when we devalue people and we take them as common and normal and ordinary and we just throw them out for the dogs and the pigs, we have a wrong attitude. We got it wrong. C.S. Lewis says this, and then we'll pray. He says, it's actually three slides long. He says, there are no ordinary people. Wait till we get it up there. Is it in there? Should be the last three slides. Okay, we'll go without it. He says this. He says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors of the everlasting splendors, or everlasting splendors. This does not mean that we are to be perpetually solemn. We must play. But our merriment must be with the of that kind, and it is, in fact, the merriest kind, which exists between people who have, from the outset, taken each other seriously. No flippancy, no superiority, no presumption. He says, you have never set eyes on a mere mortal. But every single person is of such incredible value that Jesus came to die upon them. The scriptures doesn't say Jesus came to die for those who are not dogs and those who are not pigs. Jesus came to die for everyone. So precious. So precious that that's why Jesus came. And Jesus, if you came today and this is all kind of brand new to you and no one's ever told you that Jesus died for you, I want you to walk out of here knowing that Jesus died for you. That you can have his life living in you. And you can have hope and peace and freedom, all kinds of things. Tie them together. Tie these together. Don't judge or you'll pay the price. Take care of the log in your own eye, then you'll be able to help the one who has the speck in their eye. Don't throw people out to the dogs and the pigs. They are holy, precious, and valuable. Amen? That's the attitude that he wants us to have. I think that's the flow of what's happening in this passage. Let's stand together. Lord, thank you that you take the words that are 2,000 years old, and some of them like these words that are only used by you. And you take them and you apply them to our life and to our heart and to our spirit. And I don't know how you want to do that today. The men in the room, the women in the room, the single people, married people, older people, younger people. I don't know how you want to take and apply this. I guess there is one thing I know, that you want us to understand how much you value people. And that we're not to take what's holy and precious and cast it out and treat it like it's common every day. But the people in our lives, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, the people we're on a team with, the people we do recreation with, the people we commute with, every one of them are precious in your sight. We're not to see them as dogs. We're not to see them as pigs. We're to see them as precious. Lord, again, thank you. Thank you that you speak to our hearts. Pray for those, Lord, who came today that maybe this is the first time they've heard some of this stuff. I pray you keep wrestling with their heart, keep wrestling with their spirit. Keep wrestling to the place where they will trust you. And they'll surrender their past and their present and their future to you. And begin to understand what it means to walk with you. So Jesus, do your work. Continue to do your work. Accomplish every single thing you're wanting to accomplish. And Lord, forgive us for when we've treated people who are precious pearls, that we've treated them as if they were unholy, common, something to be thrown to the dogs and trampled on. Forgive us, God. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. And keep changing our hearts. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Go have a great day. Those of you that are online, thanks for joining us. Randy and Colleen will be out in the foyer. They'd love to chat with you. Again, the bowls in the back are for the missions offering, or you can give online. Go to our website. God bless you. Bill and Stephanie are up here. They'd love to pray with you today. If you need prayer for something, they would love to spend a few minutes praying with you. God bless you.